good report of the youth working River Fest. Raised $3,000 Friday night. Praise God. Cash Green. I had a customer one time. I did a roof job for years ago. And he said, I want to know how much you'll do this roof for if I pay you Cash Green. So we kind of had a saying ever since then, Cash Green. So they paid us Cash Green. In fact, they told them, somebody said, they said that they done the best job anybody's ever done. And said they could do it again next year, and said if they wanted to, they could do all three nights. They pay $3,000 a night for Friday and Saturday, and $5,000 for Sunday. So $11,000 they could raise. Anyway, I thought that was a great compliment for them, and appreciate everyone that went. And also we're working on, when is it, June? When are we having the garage sale? When is the garage sale? June the 13th. So we're going to try to get the gymnasium cleaned out. And anything you want to bring, this ought to be. Sister Abraham, this is right down your line. 30 boxes. She's getting ready. She must have heard about it. We can pick it up. We can pick it up for you if you want us to. They're telling me. So, anyway. All right. There we go. Anyway, I'm thankful tonight for every one of you. Oh, I'd hate to have very many weekends like we had last weekend without you. Weekends like that's far, though. It's a good break, but it's always good when it's over. And makes me realize how good it is to have church. And Brother Doug York, Sister Yvonne sold her house over the weekend. Praise God for that. And of course, Brother Mark, he's working his new job, and he's looking at a house and would like for us to pray with him about it. And Sister Sherry's finished her school teaching for the year up there, so she's wanting to be getting down here as soon as possible. But she doesn't want to live in that apartment with Brother Doug and Brother Mark together. You know, most women just want to take care of one man. Anyway, but I'm thankful for what the Lord's doing. If I would have been among the children of Egypt, of God in Egypt, when I came out of there, I hope I would have been among those that were thankful. I hope I'd have been thankful for what God was doing. You know, there was times that, you know, I wonder how many of them ever thought about, wonder what would happen if we'd have stayed in Egypt after God left out of there. You know, the reason he was with us in Egypt, of course, he let us go through a lot of things there. But when he got us out of Egypt, we couldn't look back. And, of course, a lot of people did. A lot of people forgot some of the things God did to get them out. And some even murmured and complained in the wilderness. They didn't know what God had in store for them. All those lessons we have in the Bible makes me want to not be a murmurer or complainer, but one that's thankful. I want to be thankful for what God's done in my life. Like this song said, because He loved me. That's why I love Him. It's because of the love that He's shown for me and all that God's wrought in my life. And I don't want to look back and wonder what would it have been like if I just have to believe God's directed. The Bible said the steps of a good man's ordered to the Lord. I was thinking here during the service, I thought, you know, I think most people want to be good. I think most people have something in them that wants to be good. They may at a very young age get to where they get that part of their affection and the seat of their affection or their heart. They get that calloused over, covered up, and doesn't function like it once did. But I think most people desire to do right and be good. The thing is there's a part on us. There's something on our part to respond to God, and God's dealing with our lives. We're really without excuse with just what He's done in His creation. He's shown Himself enough that ought to make us want to reach out to Him, seek Him. And I'm so glad tonight that I'm a part of the body of Christ. I'm glad I know what that means. I heard a preacher recently asking his young people, do you know who you are? Do you know if you were transported to Tibetan or Dubai or some foreign land, how would you do being God's child? Have you got a hold of your life enough? Are you hooked into God enough that He could manifest Himself through you? Could you live for Him no matter what situation you found yourself in? Well, God's working. He's working that in our lives. He may not be putting us to that kind of test yet, but I think we ought to realize what God's working in our lives. We're headed for Canaan. We're headed for a promised land. We're headed for glory, the glory world, glorification, what God wants to glorify in us and for us. We may not see yet what all God has in store for us, but we ought to be thankful we're in the journey. We're on the way. God's leading the way. I'm happy about that tonight. And I'm glad that I have a vision of the body of Christ. I think that vision's expanding. It's getting greater. And I think it's going to get greater yet. As God, you have to get your eyes off the world to keep your vision in God bright. Can't look at what the natural eye sees or what even what you feel naturally. When we started off the song service tonight, I kind of felt a little bit for Sister Stewart. I thought you got a load to pull. You know, just missing one weekend, you could tell. We couldn't get our minds girded up as fast as we normally can. It takes a while to get settled down again, get our mind on the things of God and the Spirit. What is the Spirit saying? It's bound to, God's bound to be talking some way, but how close am I to hear what He's saying? Am I connected well enough that I could hear God if He talked to me tonight? Well, I've had dreams. I've had God give me spiritual dreams, and I woke up knowing I just had a spiritual dream, but I didn't get awake enough to get up or get awake, really fully awake. And I went back to sleep thinking about it. And I woke up the next morning and thought, I can't remember that dream I had last night. God was talking to me. He gave me a dream. I know it was God, but I can't remember it this morning. Well, I've always felt like the Lord was saying to me, I'm talking, but I can't get your attention enough. I can't get you awake enough to hear me. So I've always said, Lord, don't quit talking. Just help me listen better. Just help me to get in a place where I can I can respond to you. There has been several times that I woke up and the Lord was giving me a dream. I sat up in the bed and shook myself. I said, wake up, dummy. God's talking to you. Don't you go to sleep and forget this. And I'd sit up or get up and get me a drink of water or something, meditate on it a little while. But I do know that we have to do something. God doesn't do it all. He'll pave the way for you if you'll respond to it. If you just take a step towards Him, He'll run towards you. But you have to do something. I have to do something. I have to seek. I've got to knock. I've got to ask. And when I never have sought God very much, what I didn't feel like the Lord was responding to me, my seeking. I've never knocked on heaven's door very long that I didn't feel like the Lord was on the other side of the door and that He was making it a way for my entrance into a greater walk with Him, a closer place with Him. So I feel like this place that we're in, the body of Christ, and I know that that's a statement a lot of people are making tonight, but I know that there's a difference between just anywhere or anyone that calls themselves the body of Christ and the true church of Jesus Christ, His body in the earth. I know God's been working right here in this place, among this people. I know He has many other people that He's going to bring this way. And He's giving you and I the opportunity to be among the first fruits of His coming to the Gentile world and manifesting Himself for a great harvest. He's given us an opportunity to be among the first fruits of that. And I want to respond to that. I want to have the spirit of Ruth that said to Naomi, entreat me not to leave thee. You know, I'm coming. I'm going with you. That's my heart tonight. I'm going with you folks. I'm staying with this people. I don't know where else I'd go. God's called me here to work with y'all. I don't feel like God's called everybody to be among this, but not yet. I think He will. I think He's going to call everybody to be a part of one faith, one spirit, one body. I think God wants us all to be one before this is over, but He's wise enough to know we can't be one just yet. There's things has to happen. There's got to be things happen among us, you and I, that gets us ready to receive God's people and love them. If we're going to have a church grow, we're going to have to be servants. We're going to have to serve God's people and love them when they come in here. And we're going to have to go to the highways and hedges and compel them to come. I was thinking about this River Fest cleanup crew that we just had, I thought, you know, this might be a way we could recruit other youth. Ask people that you work with. Say, hey, why don't you come help us? Help us raise some money for our youth fund, our drama team. Our church is going to raise money on Memorial Day weekend. Why don't you go with us? You can get in the River Fest free. And help us clean up just a few hours. You know, it'd be a way to get to know people. Be a way to meet folks. And have them a part of what we're doing. And you never know. It might be a way for people to get to know us a little bit. And it would be a help. It would be a great help to us. If we did more than one night, we'd need help. And we'd need, we might have to get Brother Al and Sister Elsie to go on the next trip. Or somebody else, you know. Anyway, I just appreciate the Lord and what He's doing here in the body of Christ and how He brought me here. I want to take up prayer request, but I'm going to read you a scripture before I do. In the 139th Psalm, it came to me while we were singing. And I've read it before, but this psalm means a lot to me. To know something about God and His ways. He said, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. You know what will cause me to get down, sit down, stop working, give up. But you know also what will get me up. You know how to pick me up. Thank God for that. There's a God that knows how to encourage people, lift people up. And we are to be like Him. We are to learn that. If you know, if you're around somebody and you know what will lift them up, well, that's a good way to serve people. That's a good way to be a servant. Is to learn how to be edifying, lift people up, encourage people. He said, oh, thou understandest my thought afar off. I've always thought about that. You know, Sister Watson quoted me and said, told God a few times, don't listen to me all the time, or don't pay attention to me. There's been a few times I wish God didn't, you know. It says He understands my thoughts a long ways off, way out there somewhere, way off where I didn't think He was paying any attention. Didn't think He could hear that far. But I guess there's times that I'm glad He knows my thoughts, and then there's other times I wish He didn't. But I'm working, Brother Tyrone, I'm working on getting to a place where I want Him to know them all. He's right along with me, and I'm thinking like Him. I'm thinking I've got a mind like Jesus, and God's pleased with what I'm thinking. I want my thoughts to be that. I want to cast down evil imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against God, and I want to be able to get my mind thinking right all the time. He's good all the time. I want to be good all the time. And He's working on me. That's why I like this so much, that God, He knows me. That's why I love this psalm, because it helps me to realize I've got a Father that cares. Watches over, and He knows me, and He's helping me. He's working to help me. It's all going to work out for my good. If I'll believe that, if I'll hold on to that, if I'll keep hanging on to my faith and what I'm hoping for, I know it's all going to work out, Brother Talley, for my good. Praise God for that. I may be in the wilderness. I may be in a place dry place, may not be very much water or too much food, but I know I'm in God's hands. I know He'll take care of me. That's a wonderful thing to have faith for and to believe. I don't understand it all. I don't understand everything God does or why He does everything He does. I just know He knows what He's doing. He compasses my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. You know what I'm thinking? You know what I'm fixing to say? You know, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So, He knows that what's really down in your heart, the very center of your thought pattern, He knows that's going to come out of your mouth some way, sometime. Here before long, you'll be speaking what's really inside of you. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thy hand upon me. That's something great to me, that God has, He has took time out for me, little old me, to thank God Almighty, the Father, is interested in my case enough that He would, however He does it, if it's with an angel, a minister, or whoever, if it's one of you saints that He uses, but if He goes ahead of me and works something so that His working will be affecting me according to His pleasure, His will, which is for my good, and He goes behind me too. I love that. God has took some things out of my life and fixed me where I could never get back to it. He's rooted me up out of some things. And He's got it out of my life. The past, He's covered it up. He's fixed my sins. Hallelujah. And He's got me out of all of that. And He's fixed it. He's fixed it in my spirit. I don't even want to do things that I used to do. Got me fixed where I won't go back. What's that song we sing? I won't go back. I can't. I won't turn back till I reach heaven's shore. I won't give up. I won't turn back. I keep holding on. Pressing on. All right. So, I mean, you realize God's that good? That He's got your case in mind. He's thinking about you. Now, you've got to do something about this. You know, it's not just, God's not, He just ain't going to do this all by Himself. But I'm just showing you, He's busy about your business, trying to save you and me. And He cares about us. And He's looking after us. He's not listening in on what you're thinking because He's an eavesdropper. He wants to know you. He wants to love you. And even the things you think that He don't like, He just winks at that. Says, oh, you don't. When I get done with you, you won't think like that no more. I'll fix those kind of thoughts. I know. I understand. Every once in a while, God may look over at Jesus and say, what in the world are they doing? He said, well, God, let me tell you, it's rough down there. Let me tell you, Dad, they're in a rough spot down there. You remember some of them thoughts I had? Yeah. You remember when I said, my foot didn't I slip when I seen the prosperity of the wicked? Remember the thoughts I had? Hadn't it been for you and the good Holy Ghost I had and them angels ministering to me and the Word of God that you wrought down my heart, if you hadn't went before me and behind me, I'd have slipped. But it was your help. That's why we got to help them. And They're not where I was. So we got to help them more. Yeah, he gives more grace to the humble. If we can just humble ourselves, there's little keys like that. If I'll humble myself, the faithful, what God does for the faithful, he honors faith. Those that trust him, he will not fail them. He said, such knowledge, this knowledge of a God like this is too wonderful for me. It's high. I can't attain unto it. Where will I go from thy spirit? Or whither will I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. You know, after you become a child of God, you begin to realize some of these things. I can't get away from him. No matter what I do. That's one of the reasons I'm striving for the bride today, is because I know I've got to make perfection to make, even if I was just going to make the new earth. So why not just go ahead and make the bride? If I get permission from God, if I get humble enough and show God my desire enough, I know that if I can exercise that God-given measure of faith to want to be good, want to do good, he'll touch that desire. He'll touch that measure of faith. He'll touch that response to him, and he'll multiply. Hallelujah. So I just wanted to get up and open the service and not take it all, but back up a little bit. But just to tell you, I love this place. I love the Spirit of God that's working here among us. And I love the Spirit of God that's working in our lives and how God works. I love God's order. I love his ministry. I love his saints. It takes us all. Takes us all responding to God in our calling. And so I just want to take up the prayer request. Sister Elsie, her family, all right? Keep remembering them. Brother Michael Smith needs his house sold. Let's keep praying for all the houses that are for sale. Sister Crow. Like Brother Crowell, he has to be really down to miss church, so let's pray. I saw him not out there tonight, and I told Brother Weiniger, I said, Brother Crowell must be really sick. Sister Abraham, all right, let's remember that. What else? Sister Rachel? Remember that. Sister Fisher? Sister Wilkins? Yes, she's not here. Sister Jackie? Sister Rice is not here tonight either. Let's remember her. Okay. Let's remember this family, this young boy that drowned this weekend here. Just right down on University, wasn't it? And let's remember that family. I know they're really suffering tonight. Okay. The stand's coming after he gets off work. Any others? Yes. All right, brother. Okay, Brother Brett's job situation. He's got an account he's working on. He's needing God to help him. All right, what else here tonight? Keep praying for Brother Weiniger. I know in Brother and Sister Tally's situation. All right, Sister Abraham again. Yes. Yes, Brother Dobson's mother passed away. 100 years old, be 101 this year. Huh? 100, be 101 this year, wouldn't she? Not. So, remember Brother and Sister Dobson. I know she's been in the nursing home a while, and they were expecting it a while, but still hard to lose a family member, isn't it? It's good to see Brother Fleming back there tonight. Praise God. I appreciate Brother Fleming. We need him here, don't we? Amen. We do. We need every member. There's a member in particular. All right. Let's ask God here tonight. Let's stand and ask God. The ushers would come. Pray for the offering. We didn't have one over the weekend, so. Pray for Brother Emilio Green in the Dominican Republic. He feels like he's found the right woman to marry. They're just waiting on me to come marry him. I'm just going to see if they'll really wait. They wanted me this week. I said, it'll be next month sometime before I can come. So they may, you know, I told them just, I'm not the only, you got preachers over there that can marry you. Brother Elias will marry you. They wanted me to, he wants me to meet her. I've met her before, but it's been a while. He wanted me to meet her since she's come to the body of Christ and then got this message. They took her to, with a carload of saints to Haiti, to Brother Preval's meetings, and it, she's married. Let me just say this, well, just right quick. She's married to Brother Melvin Soto, which was a pastor that came in the body when I first went over there, and then he left out. He didn't stick. And this, his wife is this woman's twin sister. And he's done everything in the world to try to turn him against her against these people. Somehow God put it in her mind to go see for herself. And every time she comes, it just gets better. And she finally went to this meeting over in Haiti, Brother Preval's fellowship meeting, and God got a hold of her over there, and he said it changed everything. They just about had her convinced to stay away from this. She went to that meeting that said the Spirit of God fell so strong that she couldn't resist it. And it got all over and got her down, wallered her hair, and she got had a Holy Ghost fit, and she's been having Holy Ghost fits ever since. And she's a sweet lady. I've talked to her on the phone, and she sings, and she's got the Holy Ghost, of course, but really been receiving this message for several months now. Just loves it. I'm just wondering if, you know, let me just give you this. I think God loves Melvin Soto. I see God moving ahead of him a little bit. You know how hard it is to turn a twin sister against her twin sister? I see trouble for Melvin Soto. But I see good trouble for him. God, when God gets after you, you're in trouble. Do you know that? Anyway, I love Brother Melvin, and I keep reaching out to him, but a lot of times you know what you'll fight, the very thing that God's trying to do in your life, because you don't understand it at first. So I'm just anxious to see what all God's doing, what he's going to do. Dear God, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Oh, hallelujah. Precious Savior, we have to trust you, Lord. You've gave us faith to trust in you, to believe in you. That's why we bring our cares before you and lay them at your feet and say, God, unravel it. Help us. Give us the touches we need and minister to these needs and our cares and our burdens of life. Oh, Jesus, help us. You're our mediator. Oh, Lamb of God, we need your help, your strength. We need to feel your working, your spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I just believe in you, Lord, tonight. I believe you're going to help us with all our needs. I believe you are helping, have been helping. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, meet the needs of the saints in this church. Oh, God, in Republic, and each one, Lord, that you want them connected to this local work here. Oh, Jesus, help us to be used of you, Lord. God, bless our services. Encourage us. Work in that helps our uprising. Bless every saint in this church. Oh, God, bless their lives, their marriages. God, clear our minds to know that you're our strength. You're our help in the present time of need. Hallelujah. We give you praise. We glorify your name, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Precious Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. God bless you as you give these ushers as they receive your offering and tithe to the Lord. Look, you're doing better. Make sure you get all you get.
need to be more faithful, you know. Sometimes I live so far away, sometimes I get in a negative frame of mind. I know that's not an excuse, but sometimes on Sunday it'll be raining, and I say, oh, well, I don't think I'll make that trip to Little Rock today. It's pouring rain. And then I think about the night that my mother's visitation, there were tornadoes that night. 13 people were killed in Little Rock, and it was storming, and yet Brother Weiniger and Sister Weiniger and Brother Smith and Sister Smith came to Conway in that terrible weather. So that's not a real excuse, but then I could make another excuse, because in the paper today, in the police beat on my neighborhood, on the same block I live on, last Thursday night, a man was waked up, his car alarm woke him up, and he went outside. There were two men, they ran, he figured they were trying to get his car stereo. So then 2 weeks ago, it was in the police beat on my block that I live on, this woman was sitting in her living room at 8:20 p.m., and some man was trying to break in the window. So I hope when I get back to Conway tonight that I haven't been broken into. I took my checkbook and I put it in the bottom of a cereal box in a closet with a bunch of cereal boxes. So if they were break in, find my checkbook, they'd deserve it, I guess, if they could find it. But on Monday night, I go out with my neighbors and eat, and they have a daughter and son-in-law that lives in the neighborhood. So sometimes the daughter will come and eat, and so here recently she was there, and she's a Church of Christ, and she said, well, I got to be at church at 7 o'clock. We're having a revival meeting. So out of curiosity, I just said, well, how long do your services last? And she said, oh, we'll be out by 8:15. So I thought, you know, so she probably couldn't take services like we have. And they say out in the religious world, the average sermon is 32 minutes. So, you know, I guess people, I know there's churches that have long services, but I guess there's some people that wouldn't go to church if the services were too long. But, you know, Brother Tucker used to say, give till it hurts. So, so Jesus said some hard sayings. He said, lend, not even expecting to get it back again. And he said, even sinners lend to sinners, hoping to get it back again. So he said, what have you done if you expect to get it back again? So I guess either I'm a pushover, or I'm merciful and forgiving or something, because there's been a man that I used to work with back in the late 90s, and over the years he just continually bugs me about money. He owes me $1,000, and last year he came up and borrowed $50. So I had a car that I was going to sell 2 or 3 months ago. Well, he's been after me wanting to buy that car, but he was always broke. So he said, I'm coming up with some money, but he said, I don't have a way to get to Conway, but hold on to that car. Well, my neighbor decided he wanted that car. So he called me one day, and he said, how's my car? And I said, I sold it. Oh, he exploded, and he cursed me out and hung up on me. And I thought, well, I won't be bothered with him anymore about borrowing money. But every time he calls, it's not just to borrow money. Sometimes he wants to talk about the Razorbacks or whatever. He lives in North Little Rock. And so he called me last Sunday, and I thought, uh-oh, he was so mad at me. I thought I'd never hear from him again. I thought he wants something. He said, well, there's been a death in the family in Chicago, and I gotta go with my folks. He's 50 years old. He lives with his mother and dad. He said, I've got to go to Chicago, and I need some gas money. He said, I'm at Mall Mel, and I'm on the way to Conway. I thought, oh, no, Lord, why do I have to go through this? But then he called and said he was on empty at Mayflower, and I was going to have to meet him at Mayflower. So he borrowed $100 from me. So anyway, I just wonder sometimes how far you're supposed to go in helping people. But anyway, my passion is reading and listening to motivational CDs. So I was reading recently about the Pentecostals, you know, that they handle snakes. I saw on Discovery Channel or National Geographic 2 or 3 years ago, one of those services where they handle snakes. So I was reading about this, and it said that in 1914, the Church of God, headquartered in Cleveland, Tennessee, was having a meeting, and these boys, as a prank, they brought this snake in, and the story goes that the preacher just picked up the snake and kept on preaching. So Church of God got into the snake handling for a while, and then they got away from it. So this book said that there's independent churches along the Appalachians that practice snake handling, and most of them call themselves Church of God with signs following. So, I saw on that TV show where there was a preacher and his wife, they died several years apart. When they get snake bit, they don't go to the doctor. That's such a silly thing to tempt God, you know what I mean? That's like getting out in lightning and thinking God could protect you from lightning. But anyway, it's some weird beliefs that people have. But then I've been reading this book called Pagan Christianity, and these two men that wrote this book, they said, well, the reformers, they just carried on some of the pagan ideas of the Catholic Church, you know, like the body of Christ. Here we have liberty and we can all be functioning members, but in a lot of these churches, you know, the preacher, he controls about everything, and the congregation is more or less has to be passive, like the Catholic Church was. So anyway, they have that revelation, at least, that there's supposed to be liberty among God's people. But anyway, I was reading about Luther, and I couldn't believe the Anabaptists. They believed in liberty of individuals besides just the preacher to speak. And so they believed in that. But it said, I couldn't believe that Luther was so hostile to that idea. It said he was so hostile to that he said that idea came from the pits of hell. And he said anybody that practiced that should be put to death. So I couldn't believe it. Luther could go that far. But anyway, you know, I'm thankful for the liberty. Where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. So I guess where there's not the Spirit of God, there's not much liberty. So, you know, when I came to this church first, that was one of the things that impressed me was no program, you know. And so if this ever became a program, then I imagine me and quite a few others will be going. But I don't think it'll ever be that way. But anyway, I'm thankful for the liberty we have, and it's a special place, and I know we're special people. I wouldn't be coming down here from Conway if I didn't have that revelation.
Thankful to be here tonight. God, you know, somebody said, well, what does the scripture say? Your young men shall dream dreams, your old men shall see visions, or it's the other way around. But either way, I think I'm about in the middle of that, you know. But, you know, you get these dreams and visions, and And one minister said that Brother Smith said something about, you know, you got to, after you do the talky-talk, you got to do a little walkie-walkie, you know. And one man said that, a vision without any legwork is nothing but a dream. You know, you gotta get with it, you know, sometimes, you know. And I was reading about doors the other night, and you know, Jesus said, "I am the door." And parts of that definition only applies to him. Parts of it. Parts of that definition applies to every one of us. And I'll tell you what that part is. That door means an opportunity. And you know, you can, when you, God opens a door for you, that's an opportunity, isn't it? And you can help someone along with our opportunity, and further them along in their walk in the Lord. I was thinking, someone mentioned Canaan's land. You know, my dream would be to wake up and God would tell me, "I'm going to send you to Canaan's land," or Canaan. And I would say, "Lord, did you mean Cayman?" You know, "I thought I heard you say Cayman." You know, Brother Smith said something about, you know, over there in some land, you know, what would you do if you was way over in the, you know, in all some of those places you mentioned, but I thought, well, what if I found myself at Kathmandu? Yeah. You know, where do you get a name like that, you know? Well, you know, when we think of being a missionary or doing something, we think of something where the sun's just beat down on you real hard and you get out of the sun, you go in the woods, there's cannibals after you, and we have heard of things of that nature, and people doing things like that. You know, men and women have gave their lives for that. I don't mean to make light of that, but it's just, you know, how our thought patterns kind of, we kind of go to extremes. But I thought that, God can, let me just read the scripture here. And you know, someone come to years ago, his old buildings, everybody's up talking, and you know, what does the Bible say? We're living epistles to be read of all men. And someone after service said, you know, we had testimonies and of our experiences and what we do and things of that. And someone said, "Well, when are they going to read out the Bible? You know, when are they going to read out the Bible?" But every one of the messages that we're giving was straight from the Word of God, you know. But people, I guess that was Brother Flynn, I guess that was they wanting the program there or something. But